Good morning. I again want to join in with David in extending a welcome to everyone, especially for those who may be visiting with us this morning. Certainly glad to have you all with us, and we'd love to have you back every time you have an opportunity. If I were to ask you all the question of how many of you have ever dealt with a difficulty in life, I imagine that just about every hand in this auditorium will probably be raised. And if your hand wasn't raised, it's either because you didn't understand the question or you just are not old enough to have experienced any difficulties yet. But the point is, most of us who are of age of maturity, I would say all of us, have gone through some degree of difficulty or struggle in our lives, relatively speaking. But the question that I want us to think about this morning is, when you face a difficulty or trouble in life, what's the first thing that you do? Or to rephrase that question, how do you handle difficulties in life? See, we've already established the fact that each and every one of us should anticipate experiencing some type of difficulty or struggle in this life. In fact, Jesus even told his disciples, he said, in this world you will have strife or you will have tribulation. So it's something that should not catch us by surprise. And so the question that we need to think about is not if, but when that happens, what do we do about it? You know, there's someone in the Bible that we can take an example from who certainly had their share of struggles and difficulty. And that person that I'm talking about is King David. First of all, he was pursued by Saul when Saul was jealous of him, and Saul was attempting to kill David so David wouldn't be able to take his throne. And so David spent quite a bit of time on the run from Saul, hiding in the wilderness. In addition to that, there was one situation that we're going to look at in great detail here in a minute where David's entire family was kidnapped. On that same occasion, not only was David's family kidnapped, but the families of all the men who were with David had their families taken as well. And because of that, they were so upset that they were threatening to kill David. In addition to that, he had one of his sons, Amnon, who viciously attacked his daughter, Tamar. And then David's other son, Absalom, killed Amnon in revenge for that attack. Also, Absalom led a revolt against his father, David, and tried to take the kingdom from him, and which led to him being killed, much to the grief of David. And so, as we see, David was someone who faced a multitude of problems in his life. But yet, through all of the things that he experienced, he was able to endure. And according to Acts chapter 13, verse 22, he has come to be known as a man who is after God's own heart. And so the question is, how was David able to deal with and endure all of those things that he went through? In the list that I read, that wasn't even everything. That was just a general overview. If you really want to look into great detail, you got to go back into 1 Samuel and you will look at all of the things that David had to endure. But the question is, how was he able to deal with all of those situations? We can get a little glimpse into how David was able to handle those situations by examining just one of them. If you will, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 30. Just to set the stage for you, to give you the context of this passage. So at this particular time in David's life, David had been pursued by King Saul. And so he's hiding out in wilderness strongholds and refuges. And at this time, he's living in a town called Ziklag. Not only that, he has aligned himself with the Philistines, who were the enemy of Israel and King Saul. And so one of those situations where David looked at it, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Not only had David aligned himself with the Philistines, but the Philistines were preparing to go to battle against King Saul. And David and his men had gone with the Philistines to launch an attack against Israel. But the Philistines not really trusting David because they remember there was one time when David was one of the valiant men in Saul's army, and they even talked about the number of Philistines that David had killed. And they remembered that, and they was like, we don't know if we can trust this fellow David. So they sent David and his men back home because they could not take the chance that in battle, David and his men would turn against them and give Saul a victory. So that's the stage that we're at right now. They've been sent back home, and they come back to this scene that we read starting in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, beginning in verse number 1. Now, what happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. I want you to put yourself in this situation. To start off with, you're already probably a little let down and upset that you were preparing yourself to go to battle and you were sent home. First and foremost, for a soldier, that's already frustrating because you were already prepared for this confrontation to be told your services are not needed here. Then you have a 3-day journey that you have to embark on in your situation of already being disappointed. 3 days you travel, and as you begin to get home, you see on the horizon smoke coming from what looks like the area where you should be heading to. What would you be thinking? See, I know the thoughts that will be going through my mind as I'm walking. I'm already upset. I'm already a little frustrated. And now I see this smoke and I'm thinking, this cannot be what I'm thinking. And as you get closer and closer, you realize the smoke is coming from the exact place where your family was last seen when you left them. What would go through your minds? See, I know for me, there would be a knot in the pit of my stomach. That the closer I got to that town, the bigger that knot would get until it felt like it was in my throat to where I couldn't breathe anymore. That's the feeling that would be going over me. All kind of thoughts going through my mind, wondering what is the fate of my family that I had left in that town. Only to get there and realize that some of your worst fears have actually come to pass. The city's burned and your family is no longer there. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine how despondent they must have been to find that not only all of their possessions are gone or destroyed, but probably the thing that was the most precious to them, their wives and their children, gone. With no clue as to where they are or what their fate is. And so we see this scene in verse number 4. It says, and they wept until they had no more power to weep. You want to talk about a point of desperation. So despondent that we're told in verse number 6, it says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because of the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and daughters. They were so upset with David. I'll be honest. It wasn't really David they were upset with. They were upset because of the loss of their families. David just happened to be the target. David, we followed you. Went to go to battle with you, got sent home, and what do we get as a result of our loyalty to you? We come back, our city's destroyed, and our families are gone. Their anger is so fierce that now they turn on a man that they had pledged their loyalties to, and they're talking about killing him. Put yourself in David's shoes. How would you handle that? See, as I read these stories, I try to imagine in my mind, having been in positions of leadership before, having dealt with people under my charge that acted in disloyal ways, I could not even fathom a situation like this, where you have these people that have trusted you so much, and what's going through his mind? Did he feel like he let them down? Did he feel like it was his fault? Was he upset with them? Realizing he's dealing with his own grief. Because see, in verse number 5, it tells us, and David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, have been taken captive. David lost his family too. So while he's dealing with the loss of his own family, now he's got to deal with this uprising. What would you do? What would be your first response? How would you react? In verse number 6, it tells us at the very end, after they talked about stoning David, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Remember, I asked a question to start this whole thing off. All of the situations that David had endured, how was he able to get through all of those situations? The answer is right there. At the very end of verse number 6, in the middle of all of this situation going on, all of this grief and all of this anger, all of this frustration, in the middle of all of that, it says David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That is the example that gives me the strength that I need in terms of how do we deal with difficulties that we face. Let's look into this a little bit further in terms of, okay, it says David strengthened himself in the Lord his God, but specifically, what does that actually mean? What are the things that David did in terms of strengthening himself in the Lord his God? We can find illustrations of these by reading some of the Psalms that David wrote, because when David was going through difficulties and trials, often he would write Psalms, and we have those recorded. So I want to look at just a couple of them that will give us a little insight into what David did in terms of relying on the strength that only God can provide. If you will, turn over to Psalm chapter number 59. This particular psalm right here was one of the psalms that David wrote when he was being pursued by King Saul, when he was running for his life and hiding out in the wilderness strongholds. In Psalm 59, beginning in verse number 1, he says, "Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgressions, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine." And so he describes this situation of people have set themselves up against him and they are pursuing him. But who does he ask for help? He says, deliver me, in verse number 1, from my enemies and defend me. In times of difficulty, David sought help from the Lord as a deliverer and as a defender. Also, looking in Psalms number 56, beginning in verse number 1. This was a psalm that he wrote when he had been captured by the Philistines on one occasion. Beginning in verse number 1 of Psalm 56, he says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day. But there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" Now, I want you to just let this passage kind of resonate within you for a little while. Now, he describes the situation. He's saying, this is what man is doing to me. This is the trouble that man is bringing on me. But he starts off the passage by saying, be merciful to me, O God. David understanding that, okay, this is a situation where I'm dealing with man, but the true source of my strength, the true source of my deliverance, it has nothing to do with man. He pleads for the mercy of God. He says, man can do whatever they want to do with me, but God, I will put my trust in you. And so no matter what situation that he found himself in, he first and foremost put his trust in God. Not only that, in addition to his trust in God, in verse number 4, he says, I will praise his word. See, it's one thing to be in a situation of dire straits and say, okay, God, I trust you to deliver me from this. But can you praise God in the middle of that difficult situation? Because, see, our praise to God, it should not be conditional based on our circumstances. We should offer praise to God because of who he is, not because of what our situation is. If he's worthy of praise, then he is worthy of praise in all situations. And so David says, not only will I trust him, but I will also praise him. And at the end of verse 4, he says, what can flesh do to me? At the end of the day, when it comes down to it, what is the worst thing that could happen to us here? In fact, the Apostle Paul would summarize it, and he would say, for me to live is Christ, but for me to die is gain. In other words, if I'm here, I have the benefit of achieving Christ's purposes. But then if I'm taken from here, guess what? That means I get to go and be with him. And so in all situations, I win. It does not matter what happens to me here. If our mindset is that we trust in God and the promises of eternal life, there is nothing that flesh and blood can do to us. And so in our times of trial, not only can we trust him, but we can also praise him. Let's look at one final psalm, Psalm number 3. I mentioned to you in talking about the difficulties that David found himself in, that on one such occasion, his son Absalom tried to usurp his throne. And so this psalm he wrote during that time when Absalom had rose up against him. Psalm number 3. Verse number 1, it says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. Now, those were just three of several psalms that we could have looked at that he wrote and gotten the same conclusion from. In all of these situations, I find a couple of common themes. Number one, David identifies where the trouble is coming from. This trouble is coming from man. But then David also takes to perspective that this is not about me and man. This is about me and you, O Lord. Even though it may be man that is troubling me, I am focusing on my relationship with you. And so through all circumstances, through all situations, Lord, it is you who I count on. It is you who I trust. And it is you who I seek to protect me and to deliver me. So when we talk about how do we deal with times of difficulty, times of trouble, David has given us a good example in terms of, do we seek to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God? We talked about it before, how all of us face different problems, different challenges in life. And I don't know about you, but one of the things that I struggle with the most is I wish that I would be to the place to where no matter what my difficulty was, that my instinct would be that I would go to the Lord in prayer. But I'd be the first to admit to you that there has been time after time after time where I find myself in a difficulty and God is not usually the first option that I go to. In fact, time and time again, usually I rely on my own strength. I rely on my own intellect, and I always resort to what do I need to do to get myself out of this situation. In fact, there lies the fallacy in my thinking. It's how do I get out of this situation? What if it's a situation that I don't necessarily need to be out of? What if it's a situation that I need to endure? What if it's a situation that I need to persevere through? I wasn't planning on going here, but while we're here, let's go to James. In James chapter 1, verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if I were to ask you all, how many of you in here want to be perfect and complete and lack nothing? I bet every hand in here would shoot up, mine included. But then if I would say, hey, keep your hands up. Now, how many of you want to actually go through the testing of your faith? Keep your hands up. Mine will go down. You cannot get through the perfecting of faith without actually enduring and persevering through the struggles. So back to our topic at hand. How do we face our problems today? I've already admitted to you that in dealing with certain situations in my own life, I don't always put God first. But we're told in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You know why I struggle with this verse right here? When it says, lean not on your own understanding. Because sometimes I'll get in the situation and I will make the conclusion that I don't see any possible way where there's going to be a good outcome for this. And guess what sets in? Panic, anxiety, a little bit of fear, maybe some trepidation. What does that do to our faith? And the more we seek to go at this on our own, at least in my own experience, I have drifted further and further away from the source of what my strength is, which is God. And in fact, sometimes we will compartmentalize God and look at situations as, well, this isn't something that maybe not relevant to God, or maybe it's not important to God, or sometimes we will put God in a box. Well, this is this thing over here. This doesn't have anything to. Remember what God told Abraham? He says, is there anything that is too hard for the Lord? It's a matter of where is our trust? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, unfortunately, there's often situations where we get so discouraged by our struggles and our situations that not only do we not put our trust in God, but we actually leave God completely out of the picture. In fact, unfortunately enough, some people could even fall away. They will withdraw from the assembly and walk away from one of the very things that God has given us to be a source of strength, which is one another. In fact, in times of distress, in times of discouragement, one of the places that we should seek to run to is to the assembly, to one another, so that we can be encouraged together. See, one of the things that we fail to do in terms of how do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord is we don't take advantage of the resources that God has provided for us to help us to endure through these situations. Not only that, I also need to let you know that God does not view us favorably when we don't trust him. In fact, it says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Just to give you the context of that passage, the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, they had this tendency that whenever their enemies would come up against them, a nation that they perceived to be more powerful than them, rather than go and call on the Lord for help, they would usually go and call on another nation. They would usually go to call on the king of Egypt or the king of Assyria or the king of Babylon, depending on who their attacker was, and say, hey, let me make a treaty with you. Protect me. And that's the context of this passage. And before we sit and get judgmental about them for doing that, how often do we go and run to another source for strength and protection before we go to God and ask for help? If the last few years have taught me nothing at all, it's the things that I thought that I could trust or could count on in this world, it could be vanished like that. Would you have ever fathomed that in your lifetime that just about every single major industry would be shut down? That you would not be allowed to leave your house and you be told to stay in? Businesses closed down, factories shut down, production to a halt. Would you have ever fathomed that? I certainly would not have prior to 2020. And so everything that people thought that they could count on, that they thought would be the sacred pillars, guess what? That was a good illustration that all of the things that you think you can trust, they can't be relied on. There is only one thing in this life that you can count on with absolute certainty, and that is the protection and the strength of the Lord our God. I'll share with you one quick illustration, and we'll get ready to wrap up. It was right at the onset of the COVID pandemic, and much like many of you, the rest of the world, I had no idea what was going on. I mean, for I think all of us, this was a situation unlike any that we had ever faced. And I remember one night I was sitting on my porch and my wife, she asked me, she said, what do you think about all of this? How do you think things are going to wind up playing out? And I said, I'll be quite honest with you. I have no idea whatsoever. But here's one thing I do know. I do trust in God. And so no matter what happens throughout this whole ordeal and this whole situation, I trust him. And as long as we have God as our protector and our savior, I don't worry about anything else. And I don't say that to minimize anything. Some of us have been gravely impacted by events of the last couple of years. And so I don't minimize it whatsoever. But what I do say is that in spite of all of that, the one thing that I know that I can count on is God. That is the one thing that has been reaffirmed over the last couple of years, because it's been the one constant that has endured. I'll tell you, beginning of the year, they started talking about the investments in the stock market. I don't even look at them. I'm like, you know what? I don't even want to know. Whatever's going to be left there is going to be left there. But the one thing that I know that I can trust is the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, we're told, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And so we don't have to worry about anything. We have the example of David. In David's most desperate situations, he put his trust in the Lord. And we serve the same God that David trusted. And therefore, our trust should be in him as well. Last verse I'll share with you to summarize all of it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse number 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's the kicker, that last part. He cares for you. He is willing, more than willing, and quite able, I might add, to sustain us through all circumstances, through all situations, because he cares for us, because we are his children. Loved us so much that he sent his own son, that he might give himself for us. And so for those of you who have not taken advantage of the salvation that is only in Christ, you have that opportunity today. If you're not yet a child of God, all you have to do is confess that you believe in him as being your savior, repent of your sins, and be baptized into Christ today and receive remission of your sins. For those of you who have already become children of God and maybe have fallen away or are just dealing with a situation that you just need encouragement or you need strength through, whatever your situations are, we bid you to come as we together stand and sing.